ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿಭರ ಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿಭರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ಕ್ಷೀರ ಬನಸಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ಕ್ಷೀರ ಬನಸಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿಭರ ಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿಭರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ಕ್ಷೀರ ಬನಸಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ಕ್ಷೀರ ಬನಸಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ
ಮಿಡಂಡಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನಶಲಾಖಾಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಾ ಕದಾ ಮಯ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಶ್ವಾಪದಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಂಶ್ಚ श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं धाम सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवे प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौड़ भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण I am very grateful to be amongst you today. Thank you for being here. I was asked to speak this evening on how Lord Chaitanya celebrated Rath Yatra. It is also the disappearance day of Sanatan Goswami. Which subject would you like to hear? Both. I want to make you happy. I'll speak a little from both. But it may make Prasad a little late. We were speaking this morning on the subject of the cleansing of Gundicha Temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us through this pastime how the heart is the temple of the Lord. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesher junatishtati. Krishna is living within the heart of every living being. Therefore, the heart should be a perfectly clean place. That is an expression of our love. Krishna reciprocates with how we approach him. If we keep his dwelling place covered with the dirt of lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, illusion, then Krishna covers himself from us. We cover him, he covers himself. We cannot feel him, we cannot see him, We cannot know him. But if we make the sincere effort to clean the temple of the heart for the pleasure of the Lord, Krishna reciprocates and reveals himself to us. Reveals our own eternal identity and the inherent natural love of God that is within us all. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunai Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Kuriye Udai. That love for Krishna is dormant within the heart of everyone. Through the process of cleansing the heart, by living with good character, by chanting God's names, by hearing the Lord's message, that love is awakened. So after Lord Chaitanya cleansed the Kundicha temple thoroughly with his devotees, the next day, knowing that Kundicha, which represents Vrindavan, was now a suitable place for the Lord to reside, he entered into Jagannath temple in the early morning for a festival called Netrotsava. After 15 days of being out of the public vision, Lord Jagannath first gives his darshan. He manifests himself. Lord Chaitanya and his devotees were so excited to see Jagannath after so many days of separation that they disregarded the regulative principles of etiquette that they usually follow in the temple. Usually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always stood behind the Garuda Stamba, which is in the back of the Jagan Mohan, a large, large kirtan hall. And then in front of that is where Jagannath, Baladeva and Subhadra stand on their altar. But on this occasion, he and his devotees went right to the altar of the Lord and stood there. It is said that Lord Jagannath's eyes were like lotus flowers, and Lord Chaitanya's eyes were like bumblebees, honeybees, completely immersed in the nectar of those lotus-like eyes. Unblinking. Hour after hour after hour they stood. The Lord had such eagerness. Rupa Goswami tells us this is the price of Krishna. Lobha. The eagerness. Eagerness to serve the Lord. Eagerness to chant the Lord's name. Eagerness to hear the Lord's pastimes. That eagerness is the expression of our intent to love Krishna. And how Lord Chaitanya was so eager to see the beautiful form of the Lord. They stood until noon, unblinking. Today, people are so bored. They turn on their television and they sit and they stare. Ah. Hour after hour after hour. Yes. But there can be no comparison to Lord Chaitanya looking at the beautiful face of Lord Jagannath. He was seeing the absolute truth. The love of his heart was just uncontrollably awakened. Now when it came time for the offering to the Lord, the devotees had to leave for a few minutes and immediately they came back. And the next day was Rath Yatra. Would you like to hear? In the early morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his devotees stood near the Singhadwaram, the main gate of Jagannath's temple. Have any of you ever been to Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra? It is extraordinary. Dozens of Dayatapatis, the pujaris, they're ringing these gongs. And then Baladev comes out of the temple wearing a big crown made out of bamboo and various types of natural flowers. Then Subhadra. And then Jagannath. And as he's coming out, it's amazing to see the sight. Because Jagannath is gigantic. There's perhaps 20 men around him trying to carry him. There's ropes. Some are big, thick silk ropes are around various parts of his body. And men are pulling the ropes on all sides, and then other people are just carrying him directly, straining and straining and straining. And the way Jagannath is moving back and forth, side to side, like a completely intoxicated person. And his crown is just going, boom, 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 boom. If you've ever seen a drunk man, multiply that by a million times. And that's how Jagannath is walking. Because he's completely intoxicated with the anticipation that he's returning to Vrindavan. That is what Jagannath Rath Yatra is about. A few years ago I was there, and after the parade I spoke to one of the pujaris who was carrying him. He was like right up against him like this. And I said, how did you choreograph all those men who were around him to make Jagannath move like side to side? That must be very difficult. He said, no, not at all like that. We were all struggling to keep him still. It's Jagannath that's moving like that. And then they put these big logs. The chariots are huge chariots. Every year they make brand new chariots. They cut 700 trees and put them in a river, Mahanadi River, and send them down the river toward Puri. Then they collect them. Then they have craftsmen. In order to make these chariots, you have to come from the family that has made these chariots for the last countless centuries. So they cut these 700 trees and they make big, big chariots. How many wheels does Jagannath's chariot have? 16 chariots, 16 wheels. And Baladev, 14. And I believe Subhadra 12. Huh? Thank you, thank you. It's so big. The amazing thing is these craftsmen are so expert. They don't use a single nail or screw or nut or bolt. They carve everything so perfectly that it just fits together. And there's no steering. And there's no brakes. Everything's done by the ropes. And to get Jagannath up on his chariot, they take big logs and just line them up from the ground to the edge of the stage of the top of the chariot platform. Then they tie them together. And I'll never forget when we were there, they were carrying Jagannath up. And like, there's about 50 guys around him, just Dayatapatis, pulling and pulling and pulling, and they get him a little way up, and then they go, he goes back down.
And then they bring up, and then they come run. Jagannath just puts pressure down, and they're all running down. Up, and they got him about 3/4 of the way up, and all of a sudden, Jagannath starts leaning backward, and you could see, it's not staged. They're struggling. They're trying to get him up, and he's just coming down, 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 and he lays down. He's laying down on the ramp. He's laying on their bodies. They're just like crushed, like this. It's like this. And they're struggling. You can hear them straining, trying to lift him up, and he's just not getting up. I think about 10 minutes passed. And meanwhile, 1 million people are watching. And in Puri, there's a microphone with a sound system that has speakers along the whole Grand Road, the 2 kilometers from Jagannath Temple to Gundicha, where the announcer is telling exactly what's happening. And he's saying, "Jagannath, get up, get up." Jagannath didn't get up. He's saying, "Jagannath, get up, get up." He's not getting up. And all these hundreds of kirtans are chanting louder and louder and louder. And finally, the announcer screams out. He says, "Jagannath, there's 1 million people here waiting for you to take your chariot ride. This is no time to go to sleep." When he said that, Jagannath came up. They put him in his place. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for that ceremony. And as they were bringing Jagannath, King Pratapa Rudra. We have spoken this morning and yesterday of how Lord Chaitanya, because he was a sannyasi, he would not agree to meet King Pratapa Rudra directly. Why? Because the Lord was a sannyasi. And especially at that time, people had very, very high expectations of sannyasis. And Lord Chaitanya felt, if I am going to mix with such a worldly person as a king, it will be a blemish on the reputation. And then how will I preach? If you don't have a reputation, who will have faith in you? And his purpose was to deliver everybody, so he would not see the king. But on that day, Lord Chaitanya saw the emperor of Orissa with a broom that had a golden handle. He was sweeping the street like a menial street sweeper. Srila Prabhupada explains, when someone in such a high, powerful position, from his heart of hearts, genuinely accepts the role of a menial servant, that is very attractive. And it very much pleases the Lord. You see, Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't only see from the outside in. He also sees from the inside out. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how Krishna does not see the thing that is offered. Krishna sees the purpose in which everything is offered. Krishna is bhava grahi. That means he accepts our love, our devotion. Or in practical terms, he accepts the purpose in which we are doing anything we do. When King Pratapa Rudra was sweeping the street, he wasn't like some politicians who just go out amongst the masses and for a few minutes look like he's an ordinary person just to get more votes.
the Lord saw within his heart of hearts, he really felt himself to be a menial servant of the Lord and his devotees. At that point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart softened, melted, and he decided, I will give my complete mercy to this king. When Jagannath was on the chariot, Lord Chaitanya looked up with folded hands and chanted several prayers, including Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. And he divided his devotees into seven groups to form seven Sankirtan parties. He personally managed it. First party, he had the great Swarup Damodar Goswami as the lead singer. And Advaitacharya would be the lead dancer. And there would be several murdungas and many kartals and many other singers and dancers that the Lord divided. In the second party, Srivas Thakur was the lead singer. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu was the lead dancer. In the third party, Mukunda Dutt. When he sang kirtan, devotees' hearts would melt and they would cry in ecstasy. He was the lead singer. And the lead dancer, the Namacharya, Haridas Thakur. He never entered into Jagannath's temple. He was so humble. Yes, he was born in what, according to social standards at that time, considered an untouchable family. But he was the greatest, Vaishnav. But he considered himself so contaminated, so low. He was so humble. Lord Chaitanya personally arranged a place for him just near the temple where he could see the chakra on the top. And every day Lord Chaitanya would come out of the temple and personally deliver prasad to Haridas Thakur. He was too humble to go in the temple, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made him lead dancer to the third Sankirtan party. The fourth, Govinda Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh, and Madhava Ghosh, three brothers, whose kirtans, singing about the beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan, would melt everyone's hearts. And Vakreshwar Pandit was the lead dancer. Another group, the devotees from Shantipur, with Achyutananda, the eldest son of Advaita Prabhu, as the lead dancer. The next group was the devotees of Kulinagram. Satyaraj Khan and Ramananda were the lead dancers. And the last group was the devotees of Srikanda, where Narahari Sarakar and his nephew Raghunandan were the lead dancers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced all of them to chant. As they were chanting, Lord Chaitanya put four groups in front of Jagannath's chariot, one on either side and one in the rear. And as they were singing, a great miracle took place. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to dance in one of the parties. Then he was seen in another party. He was simultaneously in all seven Sankirtan parties. But nobody knew it. Everyone was thinking, this kirtan's going on and on and on, and Lord Chaitanya is only staying with us. And not only that, even in the Sankirtan party, sometimes each devotee was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is looking only at me. This was none different than Krishna's Rasa Leela. When Krishna danced with each and every one of those thousands of gopis, and each gopi is thinking, Krishna's only with me. Or when Krishna was living in Dwarka, he lived in 16,108 palaces with 16,108 queens, and every queen is thinking, my poor co-wives, they never see him. He's only with me. This is the intimacy of Lord Chaitanya's power. He can completely fulfill the heart's desires of every devotee. Now, if you or me pay attention to somebody, somebody else thinks, why is he neglecting me? Or why is she neglecting me? But Krishna can fulfill everyone's innermost desires. God is great. Nobody could understand this except a few of the most confidential associates, including King Prataparudra. He could see. What did he see? First of all, he saw how Lord Chaitanya was dancing in all seven parties simultaneously, and everyone was thinking he's only with them. But also he was seeing that Jagannath on the chariot was looking down at Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was looking at Jagannath, and he could understand they are the same person. Jagannath is dancing for himself. Why did King Prataparudra have that special mercy? Because he accepted the menial service of sweeping the street for the Lord and his devotees. The Lord gave him this unlimited mercy. They began to pull those ropes. Huge, thick ropes. At one time, the ropes used to break because these chariots weigh tons and tons and tons. They're huge. If you ever go to Rath Yatra, get near the chariot wheels when they're moving. It's awesome to hear them. Each chariot has hundreds and hundreds of people pulling at the same time. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees danced. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ecstasies that he manifested during Rath Yatra have never been seen before. As he was dancing, tears would shoot out of his eyes like syringes, pouring like the river Ganga and Jamuna simultaneously. His hairs would stand on end like the flowers of the Samuli tree or like the petals of a Kadamba flower. His teeth would chatter like a child in the winter. It appeared that each tooth was separately about to fall out. His body would change to different colors. Sometimes his body would be as stiff as wood, and other times it would be as soft as and flexible as rubber. Sometimes he would become so heavy that when he put his foot down, the earth would tilt. And at other times he became so light that devotees would just pick him up and just pass him to each other. Sometimes perspiration would pour out of his pores and other times blood. And once foam, like nectar from the moon, started pouring, emanating from his mouth, and one devotee named Shubhananda caught it and ate it because he was expert at relishing transcendental mellows. This devastating dance of ecstatic love. According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya was very tall in size. Everyone could see him.
About 1 million people are there for Rath Yatra on the same road at the same time. Everyone was watching Mahaprabhu. And all the pilgrims, all the residents of Puri, all the pujaris, all the devotees, all the curious onlookers, everyone attained the perfection of life, pure devotional service, prema bhakti, simply by seeing the dance of Lord Chaitanya. Would you not like to see this dance? Well, according to our acharyas, if we are eager to hear, the transcendental vibration is none different than the pastime itself. Srila Prabhupada taught us we should see through our ears. We are actually, the dance is taking place right before us at this moment. If we just have that eagerness and that faith, we could see it. Jagannath was seeing the sandy road as the river Jamuna. And he was seeing everything on the side of the roads to be the forests of Vrindavan. Then Lord Chaitanya asked Swarup Damodar Goswami to sing. Swarup Damodar Goswami sang a verse. A verse that perfectly revealed the Lord Chaitanya's heart. He said, "Now I have again gained the Lord of my life. In the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and withering away." For Lord Chaitanya, when he was dancing in Rath Yatra, he was experiencing the mood of the love of Sri Radharani. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Krishna, who has descended into this world with the complexion and the spirit of love of Srimati Radharani. Lord Jagannath is seeing Radharani in the form of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is seeing Krishna in the form of Jagannath. That is the pastime of Rath Yatra. In Srimad Bhagavatam we read how after many years of separation from Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan went to Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. And they saw Krishna. And when the residents of Vrindavan, especially Sri Radha, looked upon Krishna, they prayed that he return to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains, Rath Yatra is the residence of Vrindavan bringing Krishna from Kurukshetra back to his home. And for us, Rath Yatra, Prabhupada said, is the festival of bringing Krishna back into the home of our own hearts. That is the meditation. Lord Chaitanya was praying to Jagannath that you are the same Krishna and I am the same Radharani, but I long to bring you back to that beautiful Kadamba forest of Vrindavan, to the bank of the Yamuna. Here in Kurukshetra, you are surrounded by elephants, horses, and chariots, and all the rattling sounds. But in Vrindavan, you are surrounded by cows and cowherd boys and all we hear is the cooing of the peacocks and the chirping of parrots. Here in Kurukshetra, you are wearing the royal garments of a prince, surrounded by soldiers. But in Vrindavan, you are dressed like a simple cowherd boy, with the gunja mala around your neck, with a peacock feather in your hair, and your companion is your flute. I do not experience even a fraction of pleasure seeing you here as when you were in Vrindavan. The mystery is revealed by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami later in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is not that the residents of Vrindavan want Krishna to return for their sake. Whatever they do is only for Krishna's pleasure. They know in their heart of hearts, Vrindavan is where Krishna's happiest. So in their love for him, in their and they're immersed in this ocean of separation for Krishna's pleasure. Lord Chaitanya continued with the prayers of Sri Radha. He said, previously, after you left Vrindavan for Mathura, you sent Uddhav with a message. How you are absolute, and in your absence we should meditate upon you, and you will be in that meditation. But we're not jnanis who understand this high philosophy, and we're not astanga mystic yogis who just want to see you in our meditation. We're gopis. We want to serve you. Don't you see? We are cast in an ocean of separation, and we have been being swallowed by the timangila fish of our aspiration to render personal service to you. Please save us by being devoured by these fish and return to Vrindavan. Have you forgotten your mother Yashoda? Have you forgotten Nanda Maharaj, the gopas and the gopis? Don't you ever remember Govardhan Hill, the river Yamuna, or the place where you performed your Rasa Leela? Please, Krishna, return. The residents of Vrindavan cannot live without you. You are their life, you are their soul, you are their everything. I do not care about my own unhappiness. But when I see the face of Yashoda and Nanda in their separation from you, my heart breaks. Krishna, do you want to kill your parents? Do you want to kill all of us? Certainly there is no fault with you. You are perfect. But the nature of a perfect person is to feel compassion upon those who love him. Please return. It is said that the mind and the heart are one. Well, my heart and my mind is Vrindavan. So please save me by putting your lotus feet once again in Vrindavan. Krishna heard. Jagannath from the chariot. He's reciprocating with Lord Chaitanya. And yes, I understand. I understand your hearts. I understand how the residents of Vrindavan cannot live without me. Therefore, every day, I pray to Lord Narayan. And by his blessings, I appear within the hearts of all the devotees in Vrindavan just to keep them alive. And I will certainly return. But there are two or four more demons I still have to kill.
and then I promise you I will return. This is the dialogue between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath that nobody except Swarup Damodar Goswami could understand as they're performing Nam Sankirtan. As the chariot was moving, sometimes Lord Chaitanya wanted to test Lord Jagannath to see if he was thinking about him. So Lord Chaitanya would go to the back of the chariot and Jagannath's chariot would stop. And meanwhile, thousands of people are pulling it, and there's no brakes. And there's no wheel blocks. They're pulling it and Jagannath's not moving. And then Lord Chaitanya would come up to the front and dance and Jagannath would go. Lord Chaitanya said, yes, he is not forgetting me. They came to the Balagandhi, where a very special ceremony takes place. The chariots of Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath stop. And King Prataparudra, his ministers, his queens, many, many pujaris, Brahmins, in fact, everyone, they can make offerings to Lord Jagannath. They just put it on the ground all around his chariot. Thousands and thousands of offerings are being made. At that time, the devotees requested Lord Chaitanya, the chariot is stopping for some time. There is a garden near the Gundicha temple, Ayatota Garden. Please rest there. Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, they went in this garden and all the devotees just laid under trees because they were dancing all day. And Lord Chaitanya found a raised platform and laid down. At that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, and the other devotees instructed King Prataparudra, you should take off your garments as a king and dress like a simple Vaishnav mendicant and go inside. And then you should massage Lord Chaitanya's feet and his legs and recite the Gopi Gita, the songs of the Gopi separation from Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me go back a couple hours in this pastime. And I saved this part for now just to give you the experience of what this meant for King Prataparudra to go in and start massaging Lord Chaitanya's feet. Lord Chaitanya would not even look at the king. He would not allow a personal meeting. He looked at him only from distance. A couple things happened during the Ratha Yatra. They're very interesting. One is King Prataparudra is standing behind many, many devotees. They were in circles around Lord Chaitanya so that he could dance. And he was watching the dance, but he was standing behind so many others. And he was in rapt attention. But then Srivas Thakur, he was in rapt attention also watching the Lord dancing. Srivas stood right in front of the king so the king could not see. And there were so many people, there was nowhere to move. So the king's minister, Harish Chandra, he tapped Srivas, simple Brahmin, and said, Srivas, please move, the king is behind you. Srivas was not in this world. He was watching Lord Chaitanya. So the king's like this, and Harish Chandra says, Srivas, please move, the king is behind you. Srivas is looking. And then Srivas, please. And Srivas turned around and slapped him in the face. And Harish Chandra is a high minister. He was just about to retaliate. And King Prataparudra said, you are so fortunate. You have received the mercy of
a great devotee like Srivas Thakur, I am so unfortunate I cannot achieve such blessing as this. Now while this dance was going on, and the king was standing there, somehow or other all the devotees became so intoxicated, they were all in their own worlds, and Lord Chaitanya, in his dance, he went unconscious. And he fell back right into the arms of King Prataparudra. And then immediately, as soon as he touched the king, he came to his consciousness, looked, and jumped away and said, "Abominable, I have been touched by a materialist." And the king was mortified. But then the devotee said, no, the Lord was actually very pleased. He's just trying to set a good example for those in the renounced order of life. So now they're asking King Prataparudra, go up and start massaging his feet. King Prataparudra had so much faith in the order of the devotees, he went. Very slowly he approached. Lord Chaitanya's laying there, chanting Krishna's names. And King Prataparudra, he started chanting the Gopi Gita and massaging the legs of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya, hearing it, he said, "Please, this is nectar. Go on reciting. Go on reciting." He chanted more verses, and Lord Chaitanya was just swooning. "Go on reciting. Go on reciting." And then they came to that glorious verse, Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam, describing the power of the narrations describing Krishna's pastimes and qualities. They are such nectar. When they flow from the mouths of the devotees, they conquer the heart. And whoever recites these glorious, the glories of the Lord, is the most munificent. When Lord Chaitanya heard this verse, he jumped up, he embraced King Prataparudra, and called out, "You are the most munificent! You are the most munificent!" Lord Chaitanya was so happy. Tears of love for the king poured from his eyes, and he bathed him with his tears. Again and again, embraced him. And finally, Lord Chaitanya just looked at this mendicant, this Vaishnav, who was in disguise. And he said, "You have come to bring me so much nectar. Please tell me, who are you?" This is a very serious predicament. You cannot tell a lie to the Lord. And at the time, if he says, "I am King Prataparudra," who the Lord had already said, "If you even ask me to see him again, I will leave this place and never come back." King Prataparudra spoke from the innermost core of his heart, the most honest answer. When Lord Chaitanya said, "Tell me, who are you?" The king said, "I am only the menial servant of the servant of your servants. And my only ambition in life is to be the servant of the servant of your servants." Now, Srila Prabhupada's purport, he explains, to pray for this benediction is the highest thing. When Dhruva Maharaj was offered any benediction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the only thing he asked for was to be accepted as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. When Kolavecha Sridhar, that simple banana seller from Navadvip, who was in utter poverty, whose clothes were rags, whose house was just a thatched hut with holes in the roof, whose only furniture was one old, battered-up iron pot to carry water, who was emaciated due to not sufficient food, The Lord offered him any amount of wealth. The Lord offered him elevation to heavenly planets, the position of a demigod. He refused. The Lord offered him all the eight mystic cities, the yogic perfections, where you could perform any type of miracle. He refused. The Lord offered him liberation from all suffering. I don't want that, my Lord. The Lord offered him elevation to the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. He refused to accept that. But what do you want? In this purport, Srila Prabhupada said, Kula Preacher Sridhar said, the only thing I want is just accept me as the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants forever. And let me in the heart of my hearts always see that little boy Nimai coming to steal my bananas. That is the only benediction I desire. Yes, for a Vaishnav, we don't aspire for position. We don't aspire na janam na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagatisha kamaye mama janmani janmaneshwari bhavata bhakti rohai thikitvai. We may work for wealth, but that's not our goal. That's just something we do to be utilized for the service of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya taught, we do not want wealth. We do not want the beauty of the opposite sex. We do not want fame and prestige. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, pratishta, or prestige, should be seen as abominable as the dung of a boar. Now, I don't know if you've ever smelled the dung of a boar, but just take my word for it. I've smelled it. Because, you know, prestige is a difficult thing to deal with, so I wanted to see, what really is it? I can't say I have realization, but I do know what it smells like. It's abominable. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't even want to be a great scholar. I only want not even liberation. I only want to be your servant. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with King Prataparudra for saying this and for feeling this that he displayed his opulences as the Supreme Personality of Godhead right before the eyes of the king. And the amazing thing is all the devotees who were outside watching, they could see the mercy the king was getting. And they were in ecstasy. Then King Prataparudra asked leave of the Lord and he went out to meet the devotees. And the devotees were embracing him, celebrating him for his good fortune. And here is another essential purport of Srila Prabhupada. The devotees rejoiced to see the mercy that King Prataparudra was receiving. They were not envious. Prabhupada says, this is what a Vaishnav is. This is the definition of a Vaishnav. They are not envious. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita that you can understand this message because you are not envious. Srila Prabhupada writes, when a devotee sees another devotee getting special mercy, when a devotee sees another devotee getting specially empowered and blessed, if that devotee rejoices, that devotee becomes very dear to Krishna. But if we become envious, if we think, why not me? Why him? Why her? Why not me? Krishna, don't you? You're having a problem, Krishna. if we're envious, that's really what it's all about. Krishna, you're having a problem. You don't understand. You should listen to me. I deserve it, not her, not him. What is this? Envy burns the heart. Envy destroys bhakti. If we see it, we should understand what it is. We shouldn't speak being impelled by envy. We should not act being impelled by envy. We should be praying to overcome it. We should be crying out the names of Krishna to take it outside of this heart. And we should show our sincerity by glorifying those we're envious of, by serving those we're envious of. You see, if someone is getting blessed by Krishna and you're envious of them, Krishna rejects you to a certain extent. But even if you're getting no prestige, or even if you're getting no real talents, usually you're envious when you have something, but somebody else has more. If you take pleasure in seeing another devotee getting blessings, you can get more blessings than that person just by your appreciation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says, if you want to go back to Godhead, do two things. Chant Hare Krishna and don't criticize others. Simple, but very difficult. Simple in theory, but envy is very difficult. Simply by rejoicing in another person's successes, rejoicing in another person's getting blessings and mercy, we become most dear to Krishna. That is important. We have to practice Krishna consciousness with this inner substance. We shouldn't be caught up by the ego. Even if you don't really accomplish much of anything, if you rejoice in other people doing it, you'll go back to Godhead. And the people who do it may not, because they may be envious of each other. Of course, we should try to our capacity to do wonderful things. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went back out with his devotees. And all the pilgrims, they pull the chariots. But Jagannath would not move. Not even a centimeter. Those wheels were just... There was no brakes. And there was thousands of people pulling. Didn't move. King Prataparudra was... Something's really wrong here. So he got the biggest, most powerful wrestlers of the kingdom to pull the chariots. Didn't move. Then he got the royal elephants of the kingdom and harnessed them all to the chariot. Dozens of elephants. And the elephant trainers on the top, thank you very much, were pushing their goads in them and poking them, and the elephants were going, rah, rah, and they're just struggling and straining and screaming. And the chariot didn't move. Devotees, everyone, they were taken aback. The Ratiyach is finished. Jagannath's not moving. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he unharnessed all the elephants. He sent away all the wrestlers. And he put the ropes in his devotees' hands. And devotees, you know, they're usually little people. And then he went in the back of the chariot. And with his head, he pushed. And the chariot moved. And the amazing thing is the devotees weren't even pulling. They were just holding the rope. And the chariot was just moving by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pushing in the back with his head. And soon after, Jagannath's chariot
entered the Gundicha temple. It was a beautiful festival. When Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, their chariots line up in a row in front of the Gundicha temple. And they stay there for a minimum of 24 hours so that everyone could come up, go on the chariots, and have darshan. Now, these chariots are huge. There could be hundreds and hundreds of people on a single chariot at the same time. And then 24 hours later, there's a big the evening of the next day, they put the logs again, and there's a magnificent festival of carrying Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath, and Sudarshan Chakra into Gundicha, which represents, and which is non different than Vrindavan. And for those days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would go into the Gundicha temple and celebrate the Vrindavan pastimes with his devotees. This is Jagannath Rath Yatra. Srila Prabhupada has brought this wonderful festival to cities all over the world. What is the inner substance and the greatness of what Srila Prabhupada has given us? Today is the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. That is a very wonderful subject, but there isn't much time. But because you ordered me to do so, I will speak something. And I'll connect it with Ratha Yatra. I don't connect it. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami connects it. I will just repeat it. We know that Sanatana Goswami, he was born in Bangladesh in an area near Jaisore. He was the son of Kumara. He had two brothers, Rupa and Ballabha, who was later to be renamed Anupam. And they were such great scholars. When Sanatana Goswami was young, a illustrious Brahmin appeared to him in a dream and said, "You should study the Srimad Bhagavatam," and handed him a Bhagavatam. And then Sanatana Goswami woke up, and the Brahmin came to a door and gave him the Srimad Bhagavatam. He became an avid scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. These brothers had such divine qualities. Thank you, Prabhu. Everyone loved them and respected them. So the king of Bengal, the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was under the Mughal Empire, emperor, he decided that these men have to be my ministers. Because the majority of the population is Hindu, and if they're my ministers, I'll have control over the entire civilization. So basically, he gave the Goswamis the choice. Either be my ministers, and I'll share my entire kingdom with you, or I'll punish you, and I'll persecute all the Hindus. Hare Krishna. Sanatan was the prime minister. Rupa Goswami was something like the home minister. Nawab Hussein Shah loved them like his own brothers. But brotherly love for a person like that is something different, as we'll see as the story unfolds. He was so pleased, he divided his wealth with them. He gave them huge tracts of land, built them magnificent palaces, gave them
treasure houses of money and wealth and jewels. And they used all their money in the service of Krishna. They built beautiful gardens, replicating Vrindavan. They called it Kadamba Kanana, the Kadamba forest. They built replicas of Radha Kund and Shama Kund and the different places of Krishna's pastimes. Sanatana Goswami made a Madan Mohan temple where he worshipped the deity. And as soon as they got out of their government services, they would just absorb themselves in Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Katha, and do puja to the deities. That was their life. And they wanted so bad to get out of their predicament of serving this power-hungry, evil, cruel king. Now, most parents, they would be very happy if their children were billionaires. But the parents of Rupa and Sanatan were so pious, they were praying to Krishna and doing pujas every day to liberate their children from that condition. Rupa and Sanatan sent many letters to Lord Chaitanya. What should we do? We don't want to do this. And Lord Chaitanya didn't answer the letters. Hare Krishna. It's parampara. In this sense. He didn't answer the letter. Finally, after many letters, they got one letter in return. It was one line. Would you like to hear that line? If a wife has a paramour, that means if she has love for another man, she'll serve her husband very, very nicely. But she'll remember him, that her paramour, in her heart. Now, Lord Chaitanya is not saying that this is what wives should do, but he's saying that this is what wives sometimes do. So they immediately understood the message that we should serve the Nawab very faithfully, but in our hearts we should always be remembering Krishna. Now, when Lord Chaitanya was in his first attempt to go to Vrindavan, he went a roundabout way, which nobody understood. He went to Ramkeli, where the Nawab Hussein Shah was living. That's a magnificent story. Lord Chaitanya had millions of people doing Nam Kirtan in the streets, right where the palace of the Nawab Hussein Shah was, and he outlawed the Hindus from having any public worship ceremonies. Haribol. And even the king's heart melted hearing about the glories of Lord Chaitanya. In the middle of the night, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, along with their brother Anupam, approached Lord Chaitanya. They fell at his feet under a tamala and kadamba tree. That place is still there today for those of you who come to Ramkeli. And they presented themselves with such honest, genuine humility. They presented themselves as being the most fallen, the most sinful, the most undeserving, lower than Jagai and Madhai, having no right to get any mercy or any blessing, but knowing that they have no other shelter, begging for that mercy. If you don't deliver us, we have no hope. But you are the deliverer of the most fallen. If you deliver us, then you will fulfill your mission, because we are the most fallen. Lord Chaitanya lifted them up and embraced them and cried and said, "Your humility is breaking my heart." And he gave them the names Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Accepted them as his own. Soon after that, Rupa Goswami left his government service and went to Vrindavan. First he went he went to fulfill some mission. He went to Vrindavan first because he heard Lord Chaitanya was going there. And Sanatana Goswami had to finish up a few things, But then he started telling the Nawab Hussein Shah, he was sending messages that I'm sick. I can't come to work. Nawab Hussein Shah was depending on him. So he sent a doctor to go see Sanatan Goswami, Sakar Malik. The doctor came back and said, he's in perfect health. The king said, well, what's he doing? He said, he's reading Srimad Bhagavatam with these Brahmins all day and Vaishnavas. The king was furious. He came storming to that place. He said, what are you doing? I need you. I'm about to go and conquer other lands. I need you to take care of the state in my absence. Sanatan Goswami said, the king is the representative of the Supreme Lord. You know what you have to do to me, but I will no longer do any service for you. The king walked out and had Sanatan arrested, put in shackles and prison, then went out to conquer other lands. But Sanatan was very intelligent. He told the jailkeeper, we're good friends. Do you remember all the favors that I've done for you in the past? Well, I have a favor from you I'd like to ask. Rupa Goswami secretly sent Sanatan Goswami all kinds of gold coins for the purpose of escaping. Sanatan Goswami put a pile of 5,000 gold coins before the jailkeeper and said, please release me. Cut my shackles. Let me go. The man said, I want to do it. I like you a lot, but what will the king do to me? He said, no problem. Just tell him this, that I went to the riverbank to pass stool. And then I jumped in the river with my balls and my chains and my shackles, and I drowned, and the river just washed me away. But actually, I am going on a pilgrimage to Mecca, and you will gain great spiritual benefits and blessings of God if you facilitate my pilgrimage. And then he put before him 7,000 gold coins. And the jailkeeper, his heart was very moved. Said, yes, I am a very pious man. And he cut his shackles, and Sanatan had to... Now he was a fugitive. He was running through the jungles. He couldn't go the main roads. He came to a hilly track with his assistant, Ishan. And at that hilly track, they stopped at an inn. And he asked the innkeeper, this is a very, very dangerous place, I have heard, with many, many dacoits. Actually, that whole area, even today in India, that area is one of the most dangerous places in the world with dacoits. There's pirates and there's robbers. I remember some years ago we took a yatra of about, 800 people to Ramkeli. And Giriraj Swami Maharaj, Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, some others, we were speaking about the pastimes of Ramkeli. Now all the people were telling us, because, 800 people, Ramkeli is a little village now. We had to go to a town about an hour drive away to get rooms. There's like about 30 different dharmashalas and hotels. We had to book everybody in. It's pretty intense management, actually. And everything was arranged, but they said you have to get there before dark. Because once dark, this place is infested with dacoits. They will kill you. Prabhupada said these dacoits will kill you for a lota, for a little water pot, with no consideration. Anyways, we did Katha, and we kept getting notes. We have to get to our destination before sunset, before dark, the sunset. It was dark. The stars were coming out. We were still talking. And the organizers of the yatra were really worried. They said, we're responsible for these, you know, there's women, there's children, and there's dacoits everywhere. Dacoits means criminal robbers, killers. But somehow or other, everyone was so absorbed in Krishna Katha, we just didn't pay attention. So we had to walk a distance to get to the buses through these jungle areas. And as we were walking, we had devotees dress up as dacoits. You know, it's kind of a spontaneous type of management. We had devotees dress up like dacoits, carrying big sticks. Like, you know, they already had us, you know. So. And then we got to the buses safely. But then we had to drive through these lonely, dark forest roads. And they said, what these people do is they just pick up big tree trunks, logs, and put them on the road, and then your bus can't get by. And you're trapped. Then they just get in the bus and rob you or kill you or do whatever they want, rape your people. So we were driving. And in each of those buses, there's about 20 buses, there was very serious kirtans going on. There were serious kirtans. You couldn't even see out the windows, it was so dark, but there was serious kirtans. And we made it safely. Then the next day we went to Kanai Natashala. That is the place, according to the scriptures, Lord Chaitanya had darshan of Krishna after taking initiation in Gaya, and then his sense of separation from Krishna fully blossomed there. Now, to get to Kanai Natashala, you have to take boat from a place near Ramkeli. It's a couple hours boat ride. And at that area, the Ganges looks like an ocean. It's at least one kilometer wide. When you're on one bank of the Ganges, you cannot see the other bank. And they told us, everyone told us, you have to get back to these hotels before dark because there are pirates. Cruel, murderous pirates on that river at night. It happened to be Govardhan Puja that day. And Sachinanda Maharaj had a Govardhan Shila. And somebody sent us from Calcutta this huge boat where all 1,000 devotees practically fit on this one boat. It's just like a big flat boat. And we, Girirat Swami, Sachinandan Swami, myself, we all gave lectures about Govardhan Puja. Then we had Abhishekam of Govardhan, and everyone was circumambulating. We were going, we get to Kanai Natashala. That is such a beautiful, holy place. It's considered non-different than Vrindavan. Banyan trees, kadamba trees, tamal trees, peepal trees, buckwheat trees. Beautiful place. And this wide, wide Ganges is circling around it on three sides. It's on a hill. We fell in love with that place. We just started speaking about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes there and the Vrindavan pastimes there. And notes started coming. We have to get back. We still have a couple hours boat ride. We have to reach there before dark. Anyways, the sun was setting. We were there all day. And finally, we left. And as the sun was setting, the boat was moving, and devotees were circumambulating the Govardhan Shila and having nice kirtans, and it was dark. And those kirtans were very, very intense. And we made it. Obviously, we made it. So this hilly tract of land is to this day dangerous, and how dangerous it was then, when it was all just tribal kingdoms and civil wars going on. So the innkeeper said, yes, tomorrow I will help you to cross over this land. Sanatana Goswami was wondering in his mind, why is he treating me so nicely? What happened behind the scenes is there was an astrologer there who just by looking at looking at Sanatana Goswami could calculate that he had 8 gold coins. So the innkeeper decided, tomorrow I will murder him and steal those 8 gold coins. So Sanatana Goswami, very intelligent. So why is he asking, why is a dacoit like this treating me so nice? He asked Ishan, do you have any gold coins? He said, I have 7 gold coins. So why have you brought this death knell with you? The next morning, Sanatana Goswami gave the innkeeper the 7 gold coins and said, I'm giving you whatever I have, please take me. Now, dacoits aren't used to people being so honest. Because, you know, the world is a mirror of our own mind. When we're crooked, we see the crookedness of others. Even if it's not there, we'll see it. We'll superimpose our own mind on others. Should I continue? Okay. You're responsible from this point on. But I won't go too long. A few minutes more. This man's heart melted. He said, you're so honest. He said, you keep your gold coins and I'll take you. Sanatana Goswami said, if you don't kill me for it, somebody else will kill me for it. So please, take it. And he took him across the hilly tract of land and left them alone. And Sanatana Goswami turned to Ishan, his servant, and said, do you have any more gold coins? And Ishan said, there's one left. I did keep one. He said, well, you keep that one and go home. I will go for the rest of the way myself. And he came to a place, Hajipur. And there he had his sister's brother was living there. He was a very powerful government person. And he happened to see Sanatana Goswami from a distance, and he saw him. He was just in tattered robes of a fugitive. And he offered him nice new clothes and said, stay with me for a couple days. And Sanatana Goswami said, I will be leaving at this very moment. But he gave him a nice blanket to take with him. Next, he came to Varanasi. And he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Varanasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already been to Vrindavan and he was on his way back. Harivo, Sanatana Goswami went to the house of Chandrasekhar and sat outside the house in a little forested area. Lord Chaitanya inside said to Chandrasekhar, there's a great saint outside, bring him in. Chandrasekhar went out and came back in. Said, there is no saints out there. Lord Chaitanya said, is there anyone out there? He said, there's one Muslim mendicant out there. Lord Chaitanya said, bring him in. Chandrasekhar goes and says, hey, Muslim mendicant, please come. Chandrasekhar comes into the courtyard. Lord Chaitanya comes out, sees him, and they embrace. Prabhupada said, shoulder to shoulder they embraced, and they both bathed each other with their tears in such ecstasy to be together. Sanatana Goswami explained very nicely the whole story of how he escaped from prison and how he reached there. And then something very interesting, especially here in Los Angeles, California. Lord Chaitanya says to Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar, please give Sanatan Goswami a shave. Because he had long hair and beard because he was like a fugitive. And Srila Prabhupada's purport, he said, Lord Chaitanya is saying that Sanatan Goswami looked like a Daravesh, which means hippie. And Lord Chaitanya did not approve of his devotees looking like hippies, so he told him to shave nicely. So he did. And one day, Sanatan Goswami, he saw Lord Chaitanya was looking at that nice new blanket. And look, he said, he thought in his heart, he doesn't like this. So he did something that nobody does. He went to the bank of the Ganges, and there was a beggar, a street beggar, who had an old, torn up, flaying quilt that he was washing. And Sanatan Goswami said, I'll trade you my brand new expensive blanket for your torn old quilt. And the man said, just because I'm poor and you're not poor, that doesn't mean you should make fun of me like this, ridicule me like this. What are you saying? He said, no, I mean it. Here, take it, give me. And he came back. And so, as soon as he came back, Lord Chaitanya said, where is your blanket? And he explained. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, that was the last attachment that you had to the material world. And now you have given it up. Now you are free. This was a historical time in our history. Kaviraj Goswami tells that just as Lord Chaitanya asked questions to Ramananda Rai on the banks of the Godavari in Kovur in South India, Lord Chaitanya empowered Sanatan Goswami to ask him questions on the bank of the Ganges at Varanasi for the welfare of the whole world. Sanatan Goswami approached with straw between his teeth. And he said, I am the lowest of the low. And my acts are sinful and abominable. I am the most sinful of all people. And yet, even though I don't know anything about my real welfare, people call me a scholar, and I believe them. That is how shameless I am. But I do not know what is beneficial for me and what is not beneficial. My Lord, I'm desperately begging you, please tell me, who am I? Where am I coming from? What is the purpose of life? Why am I suffering these threefold miseries of material existence and how to get out? What is the perfection I should be striving for and what should I do to achieve it? Lord Chaitanya had tears in his eyes. He said, Sanatan Goswami, you already know everything. But because you are a sadhu, you are asking questions for the welfare of others. And just the quality of your own strictness is you think you don't know, although actually you know. But because you have asked me, I will explain. Lord Chaitanya began that the nature of the living entity is we are part and parcel of Krishna. We are qualitatively one with Krishna, but quantitatively we are jiva. We are just a little part. And the nature of that part is that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya began his teachings with the Chintya Beda Beda Tattva. He spoke to Sanatan Goswami all day, every day, on the bank of the Ganges for 2 months and explained the entire Siddhanta, philosophy, and theology of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Then he told Sanatan Goswami, I have a mission for you. Go to Vrindavan. And there, you should extract the essence of all the scriptures and write books describing how pure, unmotivated, unadulterated love of Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan is the highest perfection of all spiritual paths. And you should create temples and places where people could come to cultivate pure devotional service. And in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, locate the places Krishna had his leelas, excavate them and reveal them to the world. And by your own example, teach people what it means to be in the renounced order of life. It was a very, very emotional experience after those 2 months when Lord Chaitanya left. And he told Sanatan Goswami to go the other way. But he said, after you reach Vrindavan, come to Puri to visit me sometime. Sanatan Goswami went to Vrindavan. Now, the extraordinary thing is Rupa Goswami, and they were just waiting to meet each other so much. But as Sanatan Goswami was heading to Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami was leaving Vrindavan to go to Puri, and they just were on two different paths. And they crossed each other. Sanatan Goswami arrived. He met Subhuti Rai. Where is my brother Rupa? He just left. Sanatan Goswami stayed for some time, and then he traveled to Puri. And I'm going to end real soon, for your pleasure. On his way, he traveled through the Jarikanda forest. The same forest that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had previously made the tigers, the deer, the elephants, the snakes dance in ecstasy and gave them all love of God. Sanatan Goswami was fasting and he drank some water from a pond. That water was contaminated. Due to that, he got a serious infection. And the symptoms were his entire body broke out with rashes and sores. And each of those sores was so infectious that there was blood and liquid oozing out of them. And they itched unbearably. And it was getting worse and worse. Sanatan Goswami, so humble. He was thinking that I'm already the lowest person. I was serving Malecha kings. I'm fallen. I'm sinful. And now this body is totally abominable. What use is my life? What service can I do? And even when I go to Puri, I can't go in Jagannath's temple because I'm too fallen. And I can't even visit Lord Chaitanya because I heard that he lives near the Jagannath temple. I can't. My body, it smells miserable. This blood and this oozing substance, it smelled horrible. Who wants to come near me? It's itching day and night. Sanatan Goswami made a decision. I will go to Puri and attend Rathayatra. The connection has been made.
to justify this lecture tonight.
I will go to the Rath Yatra and in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his devotees chanting the holy names. And under the gaze of Lord Jagannath, I will cast this body under the wheel of the chariot of Jagannath and end my life. Then, perhaps, I'll get a better birth in my next life. This was not just a decision. This was his commitment. He arrived in Puri and went to the Siddha Bakul, the bhajan kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was so happy to see him. Together they just talked about Lord Chaitanya. Sanatana Goswami said, will I ever see Lord Chaitanya? And Haridas said, he usually comes at this time of the day. At that moment, Lord Chaitanya appeared. And Sanatana Goswami offered his prostrated obeisances, Dandavat Pranam. And Haridas Thakur said to Lord Chaitanya, this is Sanatana Goswami here. He has come to see you. Sanatana Goswami got up, and Lord Chaitanya came to embrace him. Sanatana said, No, my Lord, do not embrace me. I'm low, I'm abominable, I'm sinful, and my body is full of pus and blood and sores. Don't touch me, my Lord. And he backed up. Lord Chaitanya, he had long arms that extended below his knees. He reached out and took Sanatana Goswami and pulled him in and embraced him. And as he squeezed him, these infectious sores just oozed, and the blood and pussy stuff got on Lord Chaitanya's body, his beautiful golden form. And Sanatana Goswami looked at this. It just broke his heart. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. He said to Sanatana Goswami, you stay here with Haridas Thakur, and every day I will be coming to meet you, to speak about Krishna, to chant the holy names, to bring you Jagannath's prasad. And you see the chakra on the temple? Worship that with Haridas Thakur. So every day the Lord would come. And every day the Lord would embrace Sanatana Goswami. It is explained. One day, a few days later, before the Rath Yatra, you see, Sanatana Goswami kept his desire to end his life completely secret. He never told anyone. But Lord Chaitanya, he knows everything from without and within. One day, Lord Chaitanya said, He embraced Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami said, why do you embrace me? I'm so abominable. Why do you do this? Lord Chaitanya said, I do it for my purification. By touching a saintly person like you, I became purified, and love of God awakens in my heart. And then out of nowhere, Lord Chaitanya said, Sanatana, give up this nonsense idea of throwing your body under the chariot wheel of Jagannath. If one could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I would have already committed suicide millions of times. This idea of ending your own life is in the mode of ignorance, and it is sinful, and it can never be done. So look at the great devotees. They are in so much intense separation from Krishna. They cannot live, but they will never end their own lives. Your body belongs to Krishna. It is sinful to destroy another man's property. One will never attain Krishna. One will never make any progress by such a sinful deed. Sanatana
you have already surrendered your life to me. That means your body is mine. Lord Chaitanya turned to Haridas Thakur and said, look at this man. He wants to destroy whimsically another person's property. Then he turned to Sanatan Goswami. He said, I have many things I want to accomplish through your body. I want you to go to Vrindavan. And I want you to write literatures which will establish love of Krishna as the highest siddhanta. I want you to construct temples and places where people could come to learn the process of bhakti and how to worship Krishna. I want you to excavate and relocate the places of Krishna's pastimes, and I want you to show by your example the perfect life of a Vaishnava. I cannot leave Puri. My mother will not let me. I have been ordered by Sachi Mata. I must stay here. But I have great work to do in Vrindavan, and I will perform these works through your body, Sanatana Goswami. And you want to destroy it? Give up this nonsense. Sanatana Goswami was thinking, the Lord does not approve of my idea. But the Lord does not make things easy for his devotee. Sometimes. Usually. We all have our realizations. The Ratha Yatra came. Sanatana Goswami saw the beautiful dance of all the of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami got to meet all the devotees from Bengal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so proud of Sanatana Goswami. He introduced him to all the devotees, about, at that year, 200 to 400 devotees from Bengal. Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and Budhimanta Khan. So many great souls were coming. Shivananda Sen. And he was asking all the devotees to shower their blessings on Sanatana Goswami. He ordered Sanatana Goswami to bow down to the feet of every devotee and get their mercy. But still, he let that infectious disease just continue itching and tormenting his body month after month after month. Why? One time Lord Chaitanya sent a message to Sanatana Goswami that I'm having lunch at the Yamala Gardens. Yamala Tota it is called. Please come. Now it was noontime. In the summer. May. The summer sun is so hot. And the sand is as hot as coals. Now Sanatana Goswami could have gone down the roads, but he would go by the Singhadwaram, the gate of Jagannath's temple, or he'd have to go through the sand. He went through the sand. And his feet were scorched. But he was so eager to see Lord Chaitanya, he didn't even notice it. When he arrived, Lord Chaitanya was already resting, and he had Govinda distribute his remnants to Sanatana. And when Lord Chaitanya came out, he looked at Sanatana's feet and said, what happened? Which way did you go? He said, I came by the way of sand. He said, why did you go that way? Why didn't you go by Singhadwaram? Sanatana Goswami didn't answer, but in his heart he was thinking, because if I was touched by any of the priests, or if any of the priests even touched a place that I touched, they would be contaminated. Then they would go into to worship Jagannath, and it would have been a great offense. Lord Chaitanya said, that sand is as hot as coals. Why did you do that? Sanatana explained. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. He said, just see the way that you observe Vaishnava etiquette. And this is that holy place where Lord Chaitanya says, the observance of Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament that makes a devotee beautiful.
in the eyes of Krishna.
In this way, months and months passed. And every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing Sanatana Goswami and getting the oozing blood all over his chest and his arms and his body. And this was driving Sanatana crazy. So one day he was sitting with Jagadananda Pandit and he said, I have come to Puri for my purification and just the opposite's happening. I'm making all these offenses. I'm putting my infectious sores all over Lord Chaitanya's body. What should I do, Jagadananda? Jagadananda said, the Lord already told you he wants you in Vrindavan, so just leave at once. Actually, this was just before Ratha Yatra. He said, right after Ratha Yatra, just go to Vrindavan. That's where the Lord wants you. Very good. The next day, Lord Chaitanya came. He wanted to embrace Sanatana. Sanatana tried to run away, but with those long arms, he pulled him in. Sanatana said, I had a nice talk with Jagadananda Pandit, and he's given me very good advice that I should go to Vrindavan. Why are you leaving for Vrindavan? Because I'm making all these offenses. You keep embracing me, and all these abominable, pussy, bloody sores are getting on you. I can't tolerate this anymore. Then the Lord revealed his heart. He said, Haridas Thakur Sanatana Goswami, I will tell you what is in my mind. You are like my two little children. And the reciprocation that we have is one of pure love. In matters of love, these material considerations are not relevant. So just like a mother, if a mother really loves her baby child, will take care of the child under any circumstance. Sometimes the baby passes urine and stool right on the mother, and the mother has to clean it with her hands. But because of her love, that urine and stool smell just like sandalwood pulp. Now, loving parents, this is the test. So that's, it is ambrosial to the mother. That is the nature of how love affects the consciousness. And then he said, I will tell you. Is that for me?
Yes.
This is a very significant message. Usually these messages say, stop the class. That is what I was expecting. That is what I was waiting for. Should I read it? Are you ready? A gray Honda Civic Hybrid is blocking another car. And this gray Honda Hybrid must be moved immediately. Thanks. Should I continue? Where did I lift off? This was very exciting. Does anyone own a hybrid Honda Civic? Very good. So Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatana and Haridas, when I first embraced you, I will tell you what was in my heart. Do you know what I smelled? Chatushma. According to the Garuda Purana, this is an ambrosial nectarine offering that is made to the deities on special holidays. Shatushma is a combination of sandalwood oil, pulp, saffron, camphor, and aguru, and musk. Hare Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya again reached out to embrace Sanatana Goswami. He said, Sanatan, I'm a sannyasi. If I'm concerned with good and bad and good smell and bad smell and good feeling, then what kind of sannyasi I am? I can't be thinking in those terms. Krishna put all these sores on your body just to test me. And then he reached out with those long arms and pulled Sanatana Goswami in and embraced him and squeezed him. And all the disease disappeared. His body was in full health, effulgent. Haridas Thakur looked out in wonder and said, my Lord, this is your pastime. You're the one that put that infection in that water. You're the one that gave him all this itching diseases. You're the one that made him suffer for all these long months. You're the one that kept humiliating and embracing him. And now you're the one that has cured him. Just to show the greatness of your devotee. And just to show the love of your devotee. And we should understand, it's just to show the world. Srila Prabhupada explains that there's a Bengali proverb. The mother teaches the daughter-in-law through the daughter. In the same way, Krishna teaches the world through his devotees. And this material world is a place of difficulty, is a place of obstacles. It's a place of success and failure, honor and dishonor, happiness and distress. Whatever you do, there's going to be people who are going to love you, and there are going to be people who are going to hate you. There's going to be people who are praise you and people who condemn you. There's going to be healthy days and sick days. There's going to be days when everything's going your way, and there's going to be days when it just seems that all the stars and the universe are just aimed with inauspiciousness toward me alone. That's the nature of this world. Bhakti doesn't mean that everything's nice. Bhakti means we transcend all this stuff. By remaining faithful and determined to carry on with our devotional service in any situation. That is integrity. Integrity is when we do the right thing, even though we'll get so many benefits by doing the wrong thing. We'll do the right thing even if there's tremendous loss in doing it that way. Because ultimately, life is just between us and God. Krishna sees how faithful and true we are. And the tests that come in life help us to become strong. The obstacles are Krishna's servants trying to uplift us. Just like I was explaining, when we were in that bus from Ramkeli to those guest house, if the dacoits weren't there, I assure you, it was late at night. All the devotees would have been asleep on that bus. But because we knew there were dacoits outside with their clubs and with their guns and with their rifles and with their daggers and their machetes, the devotees were the whole way from their hearts. It wasn't just a ritual. It wasn't just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Still have a couple rounds to Hare Krishna. It was Hare Krishna. People were crying out the holy names because there was an obstacle around us. We have seen devotees. They get lethargic. And then they told by a doctor, you have a terminal disease, you're going to die. They start getting really serious. And sometimes they find out the doctor made a mistake. It's not a terminal disease. But they realize it was serious. It happened to me when I was in my 20s. I was a devotee. And doctors told me, one doctor said, you're going to die in 6 months. And another said, you're going to die in 1 year. And there's nothing that can cure you. I think I was about 27 or something, 28 at the time. And I remember when I got those two reports, I started taking my japa more serious. I thought I was serious before, but then I realized I could be a lot more serious. And I just ate raw foods for a year. That's what I was advised to do. And then I went to another doctor, and he said, why these doctors tell you all this nonsense? You're all right. Anyways, it was a blessing. I don't know if it's a blessing for the rest of the world, but it was a blessing in the sense of helping me to become more serious. So yes, obstacles come. Difficulties come. In so many ways. Sanatana Goswami, just examine. What a wonderful person. He's the prime minister. He's a billionaire. He gives up everything for the service of the Lord. And what does he get? He gets thrown in jail. And then he escapes from jail. And he's a fugitive. Then he gets this disease, and he's itching and sores all over his body, and he doesn't want to touch anybody for months and months and months. It's not that that must happen to you, but in whatever level reversals of life come, that is a precious opportunity to turn to the Lord. And whenever reversals do not come, that is a precious opportunity to turn to the Lord. Dhritavrata. Determination means high or low, success or failure, happiness, distress, health, disease, honor, dishonor, praise or blame. Let me just do the right thing. Let me be faithful. Let me please Krishna. That is the path of perfection. Tatena kam kam susumikshamano bunjana ivatma kritam vipaka. Ridvagva purbir vitatam namaste jivetaya mukti pate sataya bhak. One who, even in difficult circumstances, can fold his hands and say, God, thank you. This is your mercy. That person will go back to Godhead. The Lord taught us this through Sanatana Goswami. He went to Vrindavan, and now we'll begin our class. What Sanatana Goswami did in Vrindavan for the rest of his life is the most exalted manifestation of pure love. How he lived with the other Goswamis. How Madan Mohanji revealed himself to Sanatana Goswami. How the Madan Mohan temple was built under the inspiration of Sanatana Goswami. The wonderful literatures written by Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was so simple, so humble, and so loving. He would travel all around the Braj area, and all the Brajabasis just considered him like their father, like their guru. He was actually the prominent guru of the entire Braj Mandala. He would go town to town, village to village in Braj, and he just knew everybody. He would ask, oh, your daughter has gotten married? Very nice. My prayers are with her. Please tell me, how are your crops growing this year? Oh, your crops are not. I will pray for you. And please, how is your children's studies? And how is your bhajan? How is your kirtan? And they would come and they would tell him their problems, and he would very patiently and lovingly just serve them. When Sanatana Goswami would come to a village, the entire village would just be standing at the gate, just to we've been waiting all year for you. And he'd come in and they'd invite him from house to house, and they would give him their milk sweets and their yogurt and their ghee and their milk products, because they're Brijavasis. And he would talk to the families, and he'd do Hari Katha and do Hari Kirtan. And after a couple days, when he was leaving, all the village would be weeping and crying and walk him to the border of the village, and then he would go to the next village and the same thing would happen. That was his love. He was so simple, so dedicated to every living being. And he just wore the refused cloth that was laying on the side of the road, and he would make that into kopan and some outer covering. And he would beg Madhukari, beg house to house for some wheat. Mix it with Jamuna water, make it into balls, and make a fire and put it in. Simple food. He would sleep under a different tree every night on the hard, cold ground. But yet his eyes were always filled with the tears of the love of the gopis. That is Sanatana Goswami. Immersed in chanting Krishna's holy names. Immersed in hearing and talking about the topics of Krishna's teachings and his pastimes. He taught the world the highest standards of bhakti by his words and by his example. Sanatana Goswami lived at the Dashashvamedha Ghat, at the Dwadasaditya Teel, a nice little hill just overlooking Yamuna. He slept under a tree there. But for Madan Mohan, the deity that manifested to him, he built the most beautiful temple, the original temple of Vrindavan. Later he went to live in the Manasiganga area of the Govardhan Parikrama at a place called Chakaleshwar Mahadev. There he translated the scriptures, wrote elucid commentaries, beautiful books like the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's an ancient deity of Lord Shiva there called Chakaleshwar Mahadev. Mosquitoes were disturbing Sanatana Goswami. All night long, he couldn't do his work well, so he was thinking, I'll go to another place. So Lord Shiva was so eager that Sanatana Goswami stay close to him, he called for the demigod in charge of insect life. And ordered that demigod, keep your mosquitoes away from Sanatana Goswami. And then Lord Shiva disguised himself as a Brahmin and said to Sanatana, just wait one more night and see if there's a problem or not. So he stayed there. And I'm going to end now. When Sanatana Goswami departed from this world, on this day, it is called Guru Purnima. He departed on the full moon night of the Guru Purnima, the day that Vyasadeva is worshipped. The entire Vrindavan area, people from all the 12 forests all came to Govardhan to honor Sanatana Goswami, their guru. And because every day is a vow, he circumambulated Govardhan Hill. In honor of Sanatana Goswami, they all did parikrama of Shri Giriraj Govardhan. And even today, you will be surprised. The day that most people perform the Govardhan Parikrama is not the Govardhan Puja day. It is today, Guru Purnima. The two biggest days for Govardhan Parikrama is Kartik Purnima and Guru Purnima. And once we asked some Brijabasis why hundreds and thousands of Brijabasis do Parikrama on this day, and they said, because we are honoring our Guru, Sanatan Goswami. That is his influence even 500 years later. So on this day, we offer our prayers at the lotus feet of Sanatan Goswami. And we offer our prayers to Srila Prabhupada, who has connected us to these great personalities. And let us pray to Srila Prabhupada to give us the supreme blessing by which we can assist him, be an instrument of his mercy, and follow in the footsteps of these great souls. And prepare ourselves for Jagannath's Rath Yatra. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Would you like to have a few minutes kirtan? Are we allowed to do that? You sure? You're responsible.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyadyade Santharine Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare.